course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad. I don't have anything witty to say about Ice Cream Man today.
No. Plenty to say, but we'll get to that.
Yes, we will.
No, but before we get there, do you have anything witty to say about anything else, or did you watch anything else this week?
Oh, let's see. Well, I started a rewatch of The Office, so that's not horror related, but that's always a fun time.
Good stuff.
Otherwise, honestly, not a whole lot of horror this week. I've just been kind of busy with work and stuff and getting things prepared for the baby. So, yeah, no, just The Office here and there.
Yeah, same here as usual. So, there you have it. Nice week opening. But I have a feeling the fireworks are yet to come. So, but let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have news and birthdays, all that kind of stuff. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number two, and Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, we actually got a couple good ones here. I mean, there's always at least one good one, I guess, every week. But these two are both really cool. So we have a new Leprechaun movie in development by Lionsgate. This is always exciting. We love the Leprechaun around here. When this movie inevitably comes out, we should do a full watch through the series and do like a ranking and stuff. That'd be a lot of fun. But I'm excited. Always excited for the Leprechaun.
Yeah, me too. It's a, the series... The series is what it is. Like you said, maybe we'll talk about that. But yeah, it's always exciting to see what they can do. And hopefully we get something good.
Yeah, always. Always. And then we also have our second little bit of news here, which is exciting for me. Clown in a Cornfield 2, Friendo Lives, is also in development. There are four movies. There's about to be a fourth book in the Clown in the Cornfield series. There's Clown in the Cornfield, Clown in the Cornfield 2, Friendo Lives, Clown of Cornfield 3, Cult of Friendo, and then there's Clown of Cornfield 4, Lights, Camera, Friendo, coming out next month, I think. I've read all three of the books that are currently out right now. I'm going to read the fourth one as soon as that comes out. But, I'm very excited for this one. I thought that the second book was ever so slightly better than the first book. So I'm really, really curious to see how they do with the movie. I think that it has a lot of potential. I think they just really got to they got to full send it. They got to do it all the way through.
Yeah, just wait till book five comes out. The Friendo goes to space.
And, hell yeah!
I think we reviewed the first movie, and it's in the archives. And yeah, it was fun. It was enjoyable. So of course, I'm looking forward to more of these, and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got plenty to go off of, so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah,
but. Until we get more information about that, we will move on to our upcoming birthdays. We have two pretty cool ones here. We have August 13th, 1899. You heard that right. Alfred Hitchcock, known for his creation of Psycho, The Birds, Vertigo, and many, many, many more. Hitchcock is an icon. He is perhaps the grandfather of horror, one of the grandfathers of horror. And I think a lot of the modern tropes that we see today, we would not have if it were not for our friend Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just such a part of everybody's life, everybody's viewings, pop culture, even if you don't realize it. Maybe people don't realize Alfred Hitchcock, did The Bird or did Psycho or what, The Birds or any of these movies, but people know the movies.
And then, of course, I remember the show Alfred Hitchcock Presents, which always had him doing the opening, and he had that spooky, iconic voice. But so yeah, he's a, I mean, he's on a Mount Rushmore. I mean, of one of the guys that helped get us to where we are in horror. I mean, you know, he didn't start horror, right? The horror's always been around since Campfire Tales. There's been horror, and there's been scary stuff. But he's one of the guys that helped progress it along the way. I mean, a very prominent creator that helped advance it along at his time. So, and I think his movies stand the test of time. I think they're still, I mean, they're not, right? They're not modern horror scary, but they're spooky, they're creepy, they're beautiful, and they're good watches. Everybody should watch some Hitchcock.
Absolutely. But all right. Happy birthday, Alfred Hitchcock. And we're going to jump now to August 14th of 1957. We have Tony Moran, the unmasked Michael Myers in the 1978 Halloween. Is this the guy that, like, no, I don't think it's him. I think it's the other guy that some people have problems with. No, this is kind of a unique niche one, right? Because he
Yeah.
only played the unmasked version of the character.
He was only in that one scene
Only in that one scene. And I
there
think he
at
never came back, did he?
the, I know. Nick Castle played Michael otherwise in the first couple movies, but yeah, at least the first movie. I'm not sure. I don't know about the second. I think he did two in the second. But anyway, it's just that, yeah, that scene there towards the end where they're struggling and she pulls that mask up and you see from that, that's Tony Moran. I don't know. I guess apparently they didn't think Nick Castle had the face for it. I don't know. Kind of weird. You know, small note, his sister was Erin Moran, who was the actress. She was on Happy Days and Joanie Loves Chachi and all that. She played Joanie in Happy Days
Oh,
and died very poor and penniless in a trailer in Indiana.
really? I did not
Pretty,
know that.
yes, pretty crazy story of her life. So anyway, but yeah, it's so funny. Guys like this and the guy, oh, whatever his name is, I can't remember his name or anything, that played young Jason, the baby, the small Jason, you know, in the first, just coming out of the water for that in Friday 13, that one scene. I mean, these guys are forever known just for being in one scene, one glimpse, because they're, you know, they're part of that story of the characters. So pretty
That's
wild.
crazy. Craziness. Yeah. So I recall we had talked about this before, but that's always crazy to look back on that and think about it, mull on it a little bit. But all right. Well, happy birthday, Tony. Hope you're doing well out there. We will now jump to our million movie anniversaries here, which we have a lot of these, so we'll try and rock through these as much as we can. We have August 13th, 1982, Friday 13th, Part 3. This is, of course, the film that Jason dons the iconic hockey mask. This is, in my opinion, not the best Friday 13th film. I would say that this is among the weaker of them. No offense to anybody who loves Part 3, but I do like it, and it is obviously iconic for the simple fact that this basically created what everyone thinks of when they think of Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, I like part three. And it's again, I think we talked about this is my definitive Jason look, my favorite of the looks. Also, obviously, the movie was in 3D. So if you watch it, you see some of the hokey parts that you know were 3D. I think the I don't know what it is, some kind of rod stick that comes at the camera one scene. There's the yo-yos in another scene. All clearly these parts that were, you know, made for the 3D. But it's a fun movie, but this is the movie that really kind of set Friday the 13th in motion for what people think of when they think of Friday the 13th.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy. Crazy to think about, but yes, this is the hockey mask Jason introduction, because he obviously wore a like a potato sack or whatever in the second movie. And then he was only in the first movie for like 50 seconds, so but yeah, that's fantastic. Happy anniversary to Friday 13th Part 3. Iconic as always. Now, this is another fun one. August 13th, 1993. Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday. I do have a soft spot for this movie because this movie is so dumb and ridiculous. But it has one of my favorite scenes, which is that scene in the very beginning where Jason Voorhees is like caught in the middle of like a ring of people just shooting him with like guns, and somebody blows him up. Now, it's ridiculous because, like, common sense would say that if you have a ring of people all
That's
shooting
correct.
at the same person, there's going to be a lot of crossfire. You're not only taking out the guy in the middle, you're taking out the guy across the way that you just shot in the head. But, you know.
Apparently they were all marksmen and
Apparently.
did not miss
Clearly.
anything. But yeah, this was something. But this is also right, the movie that set up, even though it was a ways to come, the Freddy versus Jason, right?
Yep.
At the
There,
very
there
end.
was a there's a scene at the end where Freddy's hand reaches up and pulls his mask down into hell.
Yeah.
But actually, fun fact, we were supposed to get a Freddy versus Jason movie in the 90s.
Yep.
After this movie came out, but there were obviously a lot of issues with the rights at that time, as there are now for both of these franchises. So New Line was not able to really get that ball rolling until the 2000s.
Which we'll talk about here in a couple because it's coming up. But
oh yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yep.
Crazy.
So,
But
they got to do it finally. But
they did. They did.
I've always been intrigued of what it could have been if they had done it in the '90s, just directly when they wanted to. I think it would have been even better. But we'll never know.
We will never know. But speaking of other movies, we'll get to the that movie here in a second. But August 14th, 1987, The Monster Squad.
Woo-hoo!
I know this is one of Dave's faves, and I need
so
to
fun.
Watch this one. This is on my list.
It's such a goofy, fun, crazy ass movie. Perfect for kids to watch. You know, that are getting into horror. There's nothing super bad, but it's got some, you know, it's just so fun. Love this movie. It is a Halloween watch every year.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll have to watch it this year. I do like a good good monster movie, so I will have to give that a watch this year. Moving on though to August 15th of 1986, we have The Fly. Obviously an iconic movie. It's classic. This is the one with Jeff Goldblum, right?
Yeah, this is the remake with Jeff Goldblum.
Gotcha.
Which we talked about this when we talked about American Werewolf in London. This has what I consider one of the two best transformation scenes in cinema, from, you know, man to beast or whatever you want to call it. When he transforms, it is just grossingly so good. It is just, it makes you cringe. Even to this day, it makes me cringe to watch it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I have seen this movie. It's been a few years, but I need to go back and watch it. But I do recall that scene, and that's always a good one. But very good. Now we're going to jump to August 15th of 2003, Freddy versus Jason. We were just talking about this. Yeah, Freddy versus Jason is great. You know, so they set this up back in like the '90s, and you know, 10 years later, they were able to get it on film. But it's crazy to think about, because obviously they were going to make Freddy vs. Jason. It got delayed for a decade because of issues with rights and whatnot. They finally make the movie, and then they really wanted to make a Freddy vs. Jason vs. Ash, but they could not. And this is not a Sam Raimi issue. It's an issue with the people who were trying to push this narrative. They wanted Ash to die in the movie. And I read this from different reviews and articles and interviews, so this obviously could be completely false. I don't know. But according to all this stuff, apparently they wanted Ash to die in this new movie that they're going to make. And Sam Raimi's like, well, that kind of goes against the entire premise of Ash. Ash is the chosen one. He cannot die, right? Like, he is destined to essentially survive everything to try and set the balance back in order. But apparently there is a lot of conversation of Jason is supposed to be a deadite. Like he's supposed to have been risen from the Book of the Dead. And apparently in the original Ash versus the Evil Dead, or Ash versus Jason versus Freddy, they were going to reveal that Jason was brought back to life by the Necronomicon. So it would have kind of tied everything together in a way.
That's intriguing.
Yeah.
Again,
but it
the
never
what
got
is,
made.
These are the things I ponder that keep me awake at night. The what ifs. So what if
right?
they made this? What if they made this? What if they made that? Maybe they will someday. What about this one? The things that we all would like to see.
No, absolutely. And they did make a comic book out of it. I will say that. They did end up making a comic book from the Ash versus Freddy versus Jason. And it was pretty good. it's just, obviously I think we would have preferred
Sure. Yeah.
the
But yeah, I mean, Freddy Jason versus Jason is what it is. You know, it's, I don't know what you'd expect, right? You just want to see them fight. Some people like it. Some people hate it. Some people love it. I mean, whatever. But it's just wild to think we got it. It's weird. I mean, it's, you know, like when you see a big comic book crossover, it's like, oh, this is crazy that this happened. But obviously, when it happens, it gets misreactions because everybody builds it up so much in their head that
Right.
for some people, you cannot live up to it.
It's usually how it goes, but no, it's great. But anywho, we have pondered this long enough. I'm sure it'll come up again at some point, but but all right. So that is Freddy vs. Jason, lost my place. There we go. August 16, 1985, we have The Return of the Living Dead. Timely, of course, because we are getting another one of these soonish. I think this year, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought so too, but yeah, no, this is exciting. Of course, we both love, we love the OG, but we also love, I love the sequels. I think they're fun, and it's always a good time, just a bloody good time, eh?
That's right. Return of the Living Dead is the best. Love this movie. One of my favorite movies. So good. It
And
is.
I won't get into the history of this, where this was like the split off from Night of the Living Dead and all that good stuff. But it's fun. I love this movie. I love the series. I love zombie movies. I think honestly, if I had to give you like a ranking of my favorite like horror genres, zombie movies would probably be my top three for sure.
Yeah. I mean, they're obviously good, right? They're always there and always prominent, always being made. But yeah, Return of the Living Dead is one of my favorites.
Absolutely, but love some Return of the Living Dead. Hopefully, with some more information about that reboot. Because, like I said, I'm almost sure it's supposed to be this year, but I guess we'll find out soon enough. It's almost the end of the year. Good Lord! But moving on to August 19th of 1988, we have A Nightmare on Elm Street 4: The Dream Master. This obviously is not my favorite Nightmare movie. Not the worst. But it's still a fun time. Dream Warrior was better, obviously, but this is still a fun Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're at this point, we're deep into the what people remember Freddy for, right? The jokes, the wisecracks, the weird things. This is we're knee deep in it by this point. And these are kind of, you know, three, four, five to me are kind of those definitive films that I think most people think of, even if they're not specifically thinking about them. But when they visualize or think about what Freddy is and what he's like, I think three, four, five, you know, Dream Warriors, Dream Master. Was it Dream Child? Those three, I think, are what most people think of. That's what comes to mind. That, you know, this is prime Freddy.
Really is. And I think that's always an important thing to know is that a lot of the quips and stuff, like, don't get me wrong, he was quippy and he was chirpy and stuff in those original movies, but it really just blew up around these movies. And that's just, I mean, that was just how it was. That was just, it was just so ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely.
But no, absolutely. I love these movies and I love to think back on it because, like you said, this is kind of when everybody was like, okay, yeah, he's just kind of like a catty bitch. That's
That's right.
I love
That's right.
it. But all right. So that's Dream Master for you. We have one last one on here, which is August 19th, 2022. We have Orphan First Kill. Orphan First Kill is the sequel to the original Orphan movie from many, many moons ago. Great movie. It's a fun time. I can sing the praise of this movie. They're making another one. But I know we've talked about this movie quite a bit, actually. And it's a fun time. It's one of those movies where it was a different concept, right? Like the idea that, oh, this girl is not quite what she seems. And it was a lot of fun, when it came out. And I remember it had oh gosh, what's her name? The lady from The Conjuring. I cannot remember her name, but that plays Lorraine Warren. She was in this movie.
Oh yeah,
So this
yeah.
is, but this is before, she got into The Conjuring and whatnot.
And again, another movie that, or another franchise, or whatever you call that, we're supposed to be getting another Orphan movie coming soon. And so, yeah, I mean, we, much as we talk about these in the past, they're, most of them are still churning today. So,
Oh,
yeah, these are fun movies. And like we said, we'll be curious to see what they do in the third one, and what more they can bring to it, right? I mean, how else? I don't know. I'm sure, they've obviously got ideals, but makes me wonder what they're going to bring to the franchise.
absolutely. But we'll see what happens. We know for sure it cannot be her first kill. So we'll see what happens. It's her third kill, orphan third kill.
That's right. Oh, it's the third movie. They need to do it in 3D, right? Just like Jaws, just like Friday 13th. It's, yeah, it's Orphan 3, 3D.
3D. Very good. So that's it for our movie anniversary. Like I said, we had a ton. It's a good time of the year for horror, I guess. But we have some upcoming releases here. Hellcat is coming to Shudder on August 14th, and it is described as a woman wakes in the back of a moving camper trailer with a badly infected wound. A voice from the truck tells her they must reach a doctor within the hour, or she'll suffer a horrific fate. This sounds interesting. This is an interesting premise, and it seems like a small set, of course, a small piece. So, yeah, I'm interested to see where this is. And it says Hellcat, so it makes me think of some kind of animal bite, and that could obviously have some implications.
That's right. And who, well, why is she in a truck? Who's in the other, you know, in the actual truck, where, why is she in the trailer, right? And who's in the truck? What's it all tied together? Could be interesting, but well, yeah, it all depends on how they interpret it, right? How they, this is going to be the kind of movie, right, where you're going to start at like whatever point Z,
Yeah.
and through the course of the movie, it goes back and tells you how you got there. So it'd be interesting to see how they do that, how they tell that backstory. But yeah, sounds intriguing.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely give this a watch. It sounds like a good time. But yeah, I'm just we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see how they got the bite and
That's right.
if they will suffer a horrific fate or not.
That's right.
Tune in next time, okay.
That's right.
But all right, moving on to Yellow Eyes coming to Screambox on August 18th. And it is described as a young couple inherit a house containing a mysterious relic that hosts the spirit of a powerful demon. And the wife of the man it possesses must find an exorcist to save him. And we will be reviewing this movie next episode. Yellow Eyes, that is the name of Azazel and Supernatural. He was the yellow-eyed demon.
Yep. Well, the princes of hell, all the princes of hell had the yellow
Oh,
eyes.
that's true. Yeah, because there
Yeah.
was the other ones too. Yeah, I always forget that there were multiple princes of hell. That's
Yeah.
interesting hierarchy.
Yeah.
But
But
no,
this
yeah, I'm
sounds,
excited.
yeah, this sounds a trick. He doesn't like a good, possession movie, with Exorcist, whatever. But they had a mysterious relic. What's this relic going to be? What's it look like? And is it something, that the demon was captured in, that they, accidentally release? Yeah, this sounds right up our alley. Hopefully it's fun and entertaining. But yeah, we kind of had two choices this week. We went, I don't know, didn't no not one reason or the other, just kind of flip a coin. We went with the yellow eyes. But yeah, so more on that next episode.
Yep, absolutely. But all right, I think that does it for all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. We will take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have our official review of Ice Cream Man. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslpod. That is linktr.ee/rasslepod. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, we're back here on Listen to the Screams, and we are going to review probably one of the most talked about movies online, and not always for a good reason. Ice Cream Man, written by Eli Roth and Noah Belson, directed by Eli Roth, starring Charlie Zeltser, Ari Melin, Sarah Abbott, and others, the movie was released in theaters on August 7th, and it only grossed $2,010,000 domestically on opening weekend, which was good for number eight, but given that it's an Eli Roth movie, given that it's a horror movie, that has got to be hugely disappointing. But in my eyes, let's get right to it, it is also a very, very good reflection of this movie. I'm just going to say flat out, I did not like the movie. Here's my thing. I typically like, you know, campy, gory type movies that are you know, weird and wacky. But this one, this did not feel right. It didn't flow right. The story, I don't know, it just didn't. Never hooked me. The story seemed weird. It just seemed all over the place. It seemed choppy. They just kind of forced the backstory into it, it seemed like, which was not that creative. But they're just like, oh, here we go. Here's this guy, and he's going to tell you why the ice cream man, why he is what he is. And I don't know. It was just weird. There was a lot of gore and big kills and everything else, but it just felt a little, and this is weird sounding for me, but it was just a little gratuitous, a little over the top for me, because it didn't really help the story, didn't really, you know, expand the story, profound the story, didn't make you fear him or these kids anymore, really. It was just kind of like they were doing it, and just because they wanted to put blood in the movie. There has been lots of buzz and talk about the AI portion of it, right? Which was, this might be spoilery, but there's a couple of, I think it's the scenes where there was a little bit of a backstory told about the ice cream man, and there's also the little cartoon that's kind of reoccurring in it. I think those were the AI parts from what I gather. It's not like they AI'd big kill scenes or anything else, but still, it is what it is. You know, I hate it. Fucking pay an animator. It's a simple job, but if you're helping somebody, just pay an animator to do that scene, that little bit for you. Don't cheap out. Don't fucking do that, man. There's people out there who could do just get a job. And then, you know, even at that, you could have spawned off and, I don't know, done more with the cartoon, right? Give some exclusive content for online to whatever, but still, regardless, it ain't saving this movie. As we stated, this has zero to do with the original movie. And my fucking God, if you're going to watch an Ice Cream Man, watch Clint Howard's. 100 out of 100 times, watch Clint Howard's. That movie is campy fun, weird good in the right way. This movie is, the best campy films don't know they're campy, right? They're actually setting out to think they're going to make a good movie, a strong movie. Dare I say semi, you know, maybe they're a little tongue in cheek, you know, whatever. But they don't set out to say, oh, let's make a really goofy movie. Unless you're like, you know, Toxic Avenger and all them. But so typically when you try to set out to make a movie like this and you try to put that camp in, I mean, it just doesn't work. This had some of the stupidest humor in it that I've ever seen in my life. And the funny thing is the worst of the humor came from fucking Eli Roth himself and his dad character in the movie. Him and mom were just making these jokes. And I'm like, nobody fucking talks like that, right? Nobody says these things. Nobody, this is not what dinner in America looks like. I'm sorry. It's just, it was weird. It felt weird. And a little cringe at the one time where the daughter's going to the, what was it? Going to a water park? Wanting to go to a water park?
Mm-hmm.
And they said something to the brother. She says, well, if you do this, I'm going to make you go with me. He's like, oh, yeah, a water park with girls in bikinis. That's tough. Or whatever. And the dad goes, oh, can I go too? Okay, that's a little cringe because we're talking teenagers here.
Right.
So it came across a little weird. I don't know. Again, this movie had so many issues. And again, I did have an open mind going into it, right? I wanted to like, you know, the kills were okay, right? There were some kills, but like some of them were just a little over the top, a little much. I don't know, this film, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like it didn't have direction. It didn't have a flow. They're just like, okay, let's just make a movie about this ice cream man, and this is what he's doing. And we'll just wing it as we go, right? We know this is what we want to do. We're going to get from point one to this, the end, and let's just see how it progresses. It didn't feel like it had direction to me. It felt weird. It felt choppy. It's like things stuck here and there. The pacing was odd in some parts. I don't know. It was hard to find many redeeming qualities. The acting was okay in it, but the material that they were delivering was just horrible. Like I said, with some of the forced jokes and everything, and it just the dialogue was unrealistic to me. I'm like, it. People don't talk like that, and it's not even like it's an exaggeration or a caricature of something, right? Where you're trying to be a little satirical. It's just flat. It was just, I don't know. I did not like this movie at all. That is not a predetermined opinion. That was influenced by anybody online. I knew people were hating it online or whatever else. I see that about any movie. That is, I don't care about that stuff because I don't care what other people say about movies. That does not matter. And I will say some of my favorite movies are some of the worst technical movies of all time. But this one doesn't fall in that. There was just nothing, no spark, no nothing magical that I could say, oh, it's a bad movie. It's not well made, but it's fun in this way. It just, there was nothing there, nothing here for me to say that. You knew what was going to happen pretty much. That's what it did, and it was just so flat. But the only redeeming quality was only like 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That to me was like, thank God. Because if Eli had tried to make it, if a 2 hour extended cut Ice Cream Man Super Deluxe, I'd be like, fuck that shit. It was just Ike, what do you think?
Well, here's my beef. Going into this, I had heard that Eli Roth had used generative AI, and I told myself that could be complete rumor and speculation. And I said, like people are claiming that, oh, I got a screener and they credit a AI company and this, that, and the other. But obviously no one had any hard proof that I saw. So I told myself, okay, people could just be making a mountain out of a molehill. This could be a complete nothing burger. So I watched the movie and it had its issues. It was extremely goofy, like it just could not be taken seriously whatsoever. You have the dialogue in this film that definitely felt like Eli Roth, outsourced it to, I don't know, a 5-year-old. And we also had all these other issues where it's like, yeah, there are some cool kills, and that's great. But if the cool kills feel soulless, and there's no creativity, and it just seems like mindless blood and gore, then it really has, really to me, it just kind of loses its intention. And this is coming from people, right? We love the Terrifier movies. And I know there are people who have their issues with Terrifier and with Damien Leone, but I think that the big difference between a movie like this and a movie like Terrifier is that Terrifier has sort of this central entity, right? You have Art the Clown. Art the Clown is this pivotal character who has a lot of marketability, is generally people like the character, and he's doing all this miscellaneous mayhem in the firm of like, hey, I'm trying to be like a creative killer. Versus with the Ice Cream Man, it's like it just felt like they were trying to shove as much gore into this as possible. And had they done that with a little bit of creativity, a little bit of nuance, maybe just given it a little bit of a thought, probably would have been good. It's just the way that they did it felt soulless and it felt lifeless. And then you get further into the movie, and like you mentioned, they had the AI for the backstory, but they also had AI for the little cartoon that was brainwashing everybody. So AI, you can tell because typically it looks super duper fake. It looks just, I mean, it looks soulless, right? It looks like somebody put this into a machine. But it's also just a matter of why? Why put AI into a movie, right? There's so many people who are trying to shove AI into the social zeitgeist, and they're trying so hard to make this an acceptable thing, but it's just It's just not. It's just, I cannot accept.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good God. It just like completely stopped the call and restarted it.
It did say recording stop, so I think it caught what we had said so far.
Yeah, it did. I saw, I went in and checked. It's there. But okay, do you have an idea about where you were?
Yeah.
Okay, just pick up like nothing happened there.
Okay. But just beyond the whole AI thing, right? Because I don't want to dwell on the whole AI thing for too long. Obviously, it is not an ideal situation. It feels soulless. Movies and stuff like this are considered a form of art to me. Even if it is cheesy, goofy, whatever, it's fine. It's just the issue is that when you try and shove this into the social zeitgeist, make it acceptable, make people try and say, hey, this is how life is now. It just sits wrong with me. So just generally speaking, if a creator is out there thinking, maybe I want to incorporate AI into this somehow, just don't. Just simply don't. There's absolutely no reason for you to do so. There are these 100 billion professions out there that exist on the idea of creativity who can do these animations for you. And it's not like this movie was extensive in terms of like animation. There's absolutely no reason why he needed to use AI. That's my big problem with all this as well, is that it just seemed like he was using it to use it for whatever reason. And that just never sits right with me. And also it's Eli Roth, right? So a person who in the past has always been super like pro practical effects and all that. So it's just, I don't know, it just seems super out of place. Like, this is the guy who made Hostel. This is the guy
Yeah.
who made The Green Inferno.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy who made Cabin Fever. Some of these are great movies that have great practical effects, and it just feels like somebody who appreciates that level, right? Why would you use AI for something stupid like an animation? Just hire an animator to do an hour's worth of work to animate these two small clips or whatever, and then you're done, right? And I don't know. It's just, I have very strong feelings about generative AI. I know that there's no such thing as getting rid of AI at this point because it's here, but we should not be pushing it so hard that people are starting to use it in movies. It's just soulless. It's lifeless. It just, oh, I hate it.
Absolutely. So, all right, then there you go. I think I could probably rag on Ice Cream Man all day, but we won't. We try
Yeah.
to be positive people. So let's get the unpositive part done. Ike, I'm going to do the unthinkable here. I'm going to rank this thing or rate it. And yes, I don't know if this has happened. I don't know. I don't know if we've done this before, but I am giving this one scream out of five. I did not like it whatsoever. So, yes. This is about as bad as it gets for me.
Yeah, I unfortunately have to agree. I don't think that we've ever given a movie a one scream out of five ever. Even if this
Unless
movie,
it was
what?
Thanksgiving or something like that. That's the only one I could take.
But
And
I
I
don't.
don't even know.
I don't even think we gave Thanksgiving a one out of five, because even though it was stupid, it was the most ridiculous thing ever. It had a soul.
It
You
had
know what I
gobble,
mean?
motherfucker. That's worth a star right there, or a scream right there.
The only other thing I could think is maybe Cannibal Cabin, that fucking
Oh, with the
baby.
baby. I forgot about that. Woo. Yeah, I don't
But
know, but you let us down, Eli.
yeah,
So bad. So
and
bad.
listen, I'm sure somebody watching this is probably seething. They're foaming at the
Oh,
mouth because
sure.
we're talking about AI. Even if this movie had no generative AI, it would have still gotten a one out of five for me.
Yeah, me too.
Because there's absolutely no reason that this movie turned out the way it did, because it just, you had source material, you have an existing lore that you could have operated within. Why go to the lengths that you went to make a lifeless movie that made absolutely no sense? That
Know.
just doesn't make sense to me.
Yep, I'm sure they're. Oh, I'd be curious to see if there's anybody, and let us know, man. I mean, tell us on social media if anybody truly love this movie.
Yeah.
I've not dug deep enough or paid close enough attention to see, that is just what I've happened across, but everything I've happened across has been negative. And if somebody did, well, whatever, so be it. I mean, somebody loving it and thinking it's a five screen movie is their opinion just as valid as my opinion. So I don't care. I just don't understand, but that's my opinion, right? That's my taste. So there you go. It could be groundbreaking here because Ice Cream Man, one scream out of five for us. Oof, 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 oof. Eli, do better. In every way. Just here's the thing. Next episode, we are reviewing the movie Yellow Eyes, which is coming to Screambox, and I will guarantee you, I will almost guarantee it, sure money, take it to the bank. I'll like that movie better than I like Ice Cream Man. And this is a lower budget movie straight to a streaming platform. But oh, oofta. Oofta, oofta. All right. Well, there you have it. Like I said, Yellow Eyes next week coming to Screambox. Make sure you subscribe to them. Subscribe to Shudder. Watch Yellow Eyes. Watch Hellcat. That's coming to Shudder on August 14th, of course. Go see stuff in the theaters. If you want to see Ice Cream Man in theaters, I would suggest you probably hurry because I don't think it's going to be there very long.
No.
I don't think this is a big run for this thing. So, but anyway, we'd like to say thank you to our buyers for all your support, and then of course thank you to you listeners and followers for everything you do for us. Speaking of, follow us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just look up "Listen to Their Screams." You can't miss us. You see our big mugs there on everything and all the graphics and stuff, so you can easily find us. But give us a follow and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. And if it's an option, give us a rating and review on those. So before we close out, like anything else you want to add?
Oh man, honestly, not too much. So I'm excited to watch these movies that are coming out. Also, I'm finally gonna get around to watching Spider-Man, the
Yeah,
new
yeah,
one.
yeah, yeah.
So we were gonna go last
We
weekend, but man, I was too tired.
I think we misplanned. We try to go a little, well, I say quote unquote late, but for it's late for us older folk. And yeah, by that time we'd had a full day and it kind of burned us out. So
I mean, to be fair, you watch a 2.5 hour movie at 7 o'clock at night. I mean, that with previews, you're not getting out of there until almost what, 10?
yeah, I don't know if very rare do I even know what 10 looks like anymore. But
Right.
well, there you go. But yeah, I definitely want to get out there and see Spider-Man as well. For anybody who hadn't seen it, I know this is off the sidebar, but Masters of the Universe is out there now. I think it's on Amazon
Yeah.
Prime. So give it a watch. That's a fun movie. So, all right, that's it. That's all I got right now. So until next episode, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.